Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 2, text 22, translation. Certainly, therefore, from time immemorial, all transcendentalists have been rendering devotional service to Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, with great delight, because such devotional service is enlivening to the self. Then repeat, certainly, therefore.
Therefore,
since time immemorial,
all transcendentalists
have been rendering devotional service
to
Lord Krishna, personality of Godhead, with great delight, because such devotional service is enlivening to the self. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The specialty of devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is specifically mentioned herein. Lord Sri Krishna is the Swayam Rupa personality of Godhead, and all other forms of Godhead, beginning from Sri Baladev, Sankarsana, Vasudev, Anirudha, Pradyumna, and Narayan, and extending to the Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Leela avatars, Yuga avatars, and many other thousands of manifestations of the personality of Godhead, are Lord Sri Krishna's plenary portions and integrated parts. The living entities are separated parts and parcels of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna is the original form of Godhead, and He is the last word in the transcendence. Thus He is more attractive to the higher transcendentalists who participate in the eternal pastimes of the Lord in forms of the personality of Godhead other than Sri Krishna and Baladev. There is no facility for intimate personal contact, as in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord in Brajabhumi. The transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna are not newly accepted, as argued by some less intelligent persons. His pastimes are eternal and are manifested in the course of time on the day of Brahma, as the sun rises on the eastern horizon at the end of every 24 hours. Om Agena Chamirandasya Ananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langaya Tegirin Tat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundi Natarini. Anybody know that one? You know it, right? That's it. By the mercy of the Guru, we can do impossible things.
Yeah, blind man can see the stars.
Blind man can see stars in the sky. A lame man can climb mountains, and a stupid man can speak eloquently. By the mercy of the spiritual master, that's what we need, mercy. To get the mercy, we have to do something to attract Krishna. We can't demand Krishna, give me mercy. Right? That's what a lot of us want to do. I need mercy. If you don't give me mercy, I can't do anything. But the devotee wants to try to do something that will attract Krishna. That's what we're instructed by our acharya. Don't demand, but try to do something that will attract Krishna. Prabhupada gave examples, just like if you work in a big company. You know, even if you're just a street sweeper, a floor sweeper or something, but if you're really enthusiastic and always come early and stay a little late, then somebody's going to tell the supervisor, and the supervisor's going to tell the boss, this guy is a good guy. You know, even he has no education, he has nothing, but he's really fired up, and we can train him to, you know, for higher things. A lot of times you see that on these big companies, some guy takes over as a you know, what do they call it, the CEO, the chief executive officer. And he started out as a, you know, some, you know, simple job delivering papers around offices or something. But, you know, he was really fired up. He worked hard. He surrendered. He did everything they asked him to do enthusiastically. He never complained. But okay, that's what they like, right? And Krishna also likes that attitude of, you know, service attitude, wanting to serve. And so it says that this has been going on. The topmost transcendentalists, they've been rendering devotional service to Krishna since time immemorial. Because that's a, not that, you know, they're, like in the Vaikuntha, they're worshiping Narayana. Everybody's very happy there. They love that, what they're doing. But they don't get close, you know, they're awe and reverence. And, but the Braja Bhakti is, you know, the, like when Gop Kumar in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he was there, he got close to, you know, Mahavishnu, I think it was, right? And he would, you know, want to embrace him and stuff. But he can't do that, you can't do that, everybody's. And he was not happy. But in the Goloka, Krishna sports intimately with all the associates. They don't, they're not thinking, you know, he's the Supreme Lord, you have to bow down, you have to, you know, they're joking with Krishna. They're sometimes older than Krishna and chastising Krishna. You know, Krishna becomes their servant, like, you know, to carry the, when they play games, you know, sometimes Krishna's side loses, Krishna loses. They steal Krishna's for the boys when they're playing. Everybody's playing on that, whatever the rasa is. And Krishna fully enjoys that, takes that, much more than he enjoys awe and reverence and worship. Lord Chaitanya, his pastimes also, you know, allow for that, that everyone is in a, like a service mood, but everyone can be very close to him. You know, in the kirtan, even in the kirtan after Jagai and Madai were liberated, Lord Chaitanya turned black in color. And he said to, I think it was a Dvaita, he said, I've taken all the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madai. How do I look? And the Dvaita said, well, you look like Krishna. He said he turned black because of the, you know, the sinful reaction. They said, we'll have kirtan, you know, and purify everything. So they had a huge kirtan. And it was one of those really wild ones. I don't know, what do you call it? And, you know, the mosh or mash or something where everybody just bumps into each other. Right? What do they call it?
Mosh.
Mush.
Mush.
So, yeah, they were doing that. Even Jagai and Madai would smash into Lord Chaitanya, even, and people were falling down, and everyone was in ecstasy. It was so ecstatic that Yamaraj, when he heard that Jagai and Madai had been liberated, he was shocked. And when he saw that they were, and they were in the kirtan, he fell unconscious. Damn. And then all the demigods started a big kirtan to revive him. And he started dancing and falling on the ground, and so much he was breaking his crown and, you know, getting all dirty. And all the demigods had ecstatic kirtan in ecstasy of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. That even Jagai and Madai, that all the secretaries of Yamaraj were complaining that they couldn't keep up to keep track of all the sinful activities of Jagai and Madai. They're just writing and writing and writing and writing, and just piling up mountains of papers. So Yamaraj, when he heard that, you know, how much they were sinful. There's no sinful activity they didn't do. But they never offended the Vaishnava. So the sinful things can be immediately wiped out. but Vaishnava Aparad, that's another thing. But they had, you know, because devotees avoided them. So they didn't have much, they didn't have any chance to offend devotees until Lord Nityananda, you know, went right up to them. Otherwise, everybody just stayed away from them. And they were always in the drunken place, and that's not something devotees are around. Now it's pretty hard to avoid the drunken areas, but in those days it was a different part of town, concentrated. The prostitutes are in one place, the drinking. Now everything is everywhere. So devotees are, all have to represent the mercy of Lord Nityananda and get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. I just, several things. I read one purport yesterday, and it's one I kind of was thinking to try to look up for a long time. I heard somebody giving a class, and it's from the fourth canto, and it's talking about the necessity of hearing and chanting. Then the purport, the first sentence, Prabhupada says one should not only read, you know, the books and hear and chant, but you should induce others to hear and chant. And then he said that is called preaching. Then there's the purport. In the last sentence, he says the same thing over again. One should not simply read, but he should induce others to read, to hear and chant. So the book distribution is in line with that. And like here, we heard the other day, there's a lot of classes. You know, we want people to read, not only to buy the books so we get some money and some scores, but we want people to read the books. We want them to, you know, read them. We have to pray practically and make arrangements and try to pray that people read the book, because nowadays people are so busy and many people have so many things to read. If they're in their job, they have to read so much. But if we get a taste, if we start reading, then, you know, it's something that you want to go back to all the time because it's so much nectar. That's Shinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Ridyantaksto Yabhidrani Vidinoti Siddhasatam. That was some, a few days ago. That simply hearing and chanting, when properly heard, the pastimes of the Lord, in itself is pious activity. And then all the knots in the heart are cut away and destroyed. All these dirt in the heart is cleaned out. The dirty, stupid desires, gross material desires, and then subtle desires, everything. Krishna will clean it all out. Cheto darpanam arjanam, bhava mahadav agani nirvapanam, shera kaira vachandi kavitaranam, vijavadhu jivana, anandam buddhi vardhanam, pratipadam purnamritam svaranam, sarvatma snapanam parambhijayate, Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. That this Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. And it's the life of all transcendental knowledge. And it helps have a taste of the nectar that we're always anxious for. And it's increasing the oceans, the limits of the ocean of bliss. So that's the special mercy that the Sankirtan movement is present. It's the, you know, the special mercy of the Lord that he came, but Chaitanya, and that we're able to, you know, that Prabhupada and all the acharyas and Prabhupada was able to take it all over the world and give everyone a chance to, you know, hear the holy name, giving so many people a chance to get the book, get the Bhagavad Gita. They should be going to every person. But we have to pray. We have to. There's no other way. I read another verse I should have brought, but it's from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Chaitanya Shikastakam, I think. It tells about how Lord Chaitanya is praying out of great compassion, you know, because he sees the suffering of the conditioned souls. And he's praying to liberate everyone. And then it says that only Lord Chaitanya can pray like that. So what can we do? We pray to Lord Chaitanya, please help these, you know, please, you know, give these people a break. They're suffering. But the only way they get that chance is when they meet devotees. Prabhupada was saying one time in a class in Los Angeles. He was saying that Krishna's in everyone's heart, you know, the super soul is in everyone's heart. And he's always telling everyone, you know, what are you doing? Come on, you know, why are you going to hell? Why don't you change your ways? You know? Right? Like the little Christian pamphlets they show them. Somebody talking to them. No, I'm too busy. So he said when that devotee approaches a person and, you know, tells them about Krishna, that super soul becomes very happy. Oh, he's hearing about me. You know, and he's very happy. But that's the arrangement of the super soul also, that, you know, we meet certain people meet us. And everyone gets purified, even people that reject, even people who, you know, no matter what reason they chant the holy name, even, you know, to insult devotees, they say, oh, those stupid Hare Krishnas making so much noise. Or if they just say, like Jagai and Madai, after the first time they met Lord Nityananda, that time he just ran away and jumped in the Ganga. They didn't get close enough to hit him. And somehow their camp was near where they could hear the kirtan. And they especially Jagai, he was liking it. Oh, that's nice music. So they didn't know. They were thinking it might be some wedding party or, you know, some Durga Puja. They didn't know what it was, but, and he was saying, that's nice music, or I like the way that Nimai dances, you know. Because even they were going, you know, through that drinking area nearby, and Lord Chaitanya wanted to go there, but the Shivas wouldn't let him go there. So he should be dangerous. So because of that, appreciating the kirtan and not even knowing what it was, then Jagai got, you know, the first one to be benefited. Lord Chaitanya, you know, liberated him. And then Madai was envious. He said, what about me? He said, I can't help you because you've offended Lord Nityananda, so you have to take shelter of him. And so he did. And Lord Nityananda immediately embraced him and, you know, gave him all mercy. If someone really comes to that stage of, you know, wanting to take shelter, and Lord Chaitanya, you know, he was going to kill them, and they were, although they were murderers and they were terrorizing everybody, when they were threatened again, they just became cowards and were crying, oh, no, no, please. They said, all right, I won't kill you, but you have to promise to always chant the holy name. And they did. And they did, and they did, and they never stopped chanting. They became great brahmacharis, chanting 200,000 names a day. That's a special mercy of Lord Nityananda that is available for everyone, but we just need to take it. We have to believe in it, you know, have faith that this is our movement. It's Lord Nityananda's mercy, that because so many Jagais and Madais, everyone is Jagai and Madai. Right? Everyone's meat-eating, drunkard, you know, gambling, all the basic sinful activities are just considered normal, right? I saw one rock and roll album one time by a band, I think they were called the Doobie Brothers. They were really big some time ago. And it said, what used to be vices are now virtues. That was amazing. It's Kali Yuga. So even we can see, even practically in our lifetime, things that were considered completely, you know, untouchable, like now are just normal. You know, casinos are everywhere. In America, you know, there was only Las Vegas for so many years, casino. It was only in the 70s they made another casino in Atlantic City, and then now there's casinos everywhere. Offshore gambling, riverboat gambling, you know, helicopter gambling. Because it's not on the ground, so it's okay. You know, they take a boat. So if there's a law in the state that they can't have a casino, they just go in a boat, and then it's okay. So they advertise everywhere, and you just go to this boat. Many other, that's everywhere. And then internet, you know, you can gamble on the internet. Pornography used to be, it's always been there, but you had to go to a nasty part of town, sneak, and, you know. But now it's freely available on the internet. Freedom of speech, I said, they can't stop it. Can't stop people from doing whatever they want. It's called the yuga. So we are, you know, trying to pull people out from this ocean of ignorance. And Lord Nityananda can do that very quickly if we take his mercy. This is not a new thing, serving Krishna. And then these things are repeated again and again with great delight. Savoy pumsa, you know, with great delight, certainly, because this devotional service is enlivening to the self. That's, you know, if we're really doing service for, you know, in a service attitude, trying to please Krishna, please Guru and Krishna, then we'll get very enlivened. If we're trying to get enlivened, you know, if we're trying to please ourselves and we forget Krishna, then it might be a hard struggle. You know, when will I get recognized? When will my hair stand on end? You know, they will when we really give everything to Krishna. When we just realize that we have nothing. We sing the Guru Bhakti prayers every morning, that your mercy is all I have made of. Right? What's that prayer? Which one is it? You know, by the mercy of the spiritual master, that's what we're made out of. There's nothing else. That's our life. The spiritual master gives Krishna, and Krishna gives the spiritual master. So we take it up, and we try to do whatever we can. So much service. But all of it is meant to keep the Sankirtan movement going, so that more and more people can contact the holy name. More and more people can contact the Bhagavad Gita and get that mercy. Even if they're not reading it, still it's beneficial just to keep it. Lord Chaitanya, when Devananda Pandit asked him about the Bhagavatam, when he became purified by serving the devotee Vakrishwar, then this big pundit, you know, who never mentioned bhakti, he asked Lord Chaitanya, what is the Bhagavatam? He was a Bhagavatam professor, but Lord Chaitanya told him, you don't understand anything. And then when he came submissive, Lord Chaitanya said, the Bhagavatam is all bhakti, it's nothing, only bhakti. And he said that no inauspiciousness can occur in a home where the Bhagavatam is kept. So it's a great benediction for people to get these books and have it, even if they don't read it. But we want to pray that they will read it. We want to tell them, please read it. We want to meet them again and, you know, help them to understand it, because then it's much better. But and we have many stories of people who had a book for 20 years, never read it, finally read it and became a devotee immediately. Right? There's that one boy. He actually had an article in Back to God. His mother got the Krishna book in 1972 or 73 and never read it. And then just a few years ago, he was 18 years old and getting interested in spiritual things, and his mother said, why don't you read this book? And he read it and immediately accepted everything. You know, he was gone, Prabhupada, everything. Immediately just took up everything, full force, still going. So, you know, obviously from the past life, but I mean, one devotee was thinking maybe he was the devotee who gave his mother the book, you know, and then somehow left his body and came back. And many people are in that condition also. They've been devotees, even in ISKCON, and now they're young people again, coming around to meet devotees. So all over the world. So we have a lot of work to do, and we're going to stop now. You know, basically, that the marathon is going on, and we pray that, you know, Lord Nityananda will give more and more mercy to more people to get the book. Things happen. We can do anything. That we can have more and more temples and more parties going out. more people going everywhere to give books. There's no limit, you know, there's so many people out there just lost and being misdirected and misguided. They're unfortunate. But there's great mercy because of the Sankirtan movement. It's the topmost benediction, prime benediction for humanity at large. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Transcendental Book Distribution, Ki Jai. Soho Bhakta Vrinda, Ki Jai. To say this is one of the most, it's actually probably the busiest temple outside of India, right, in the world. You've been in a lot of temples, right? Most of the temples I've been in, nobody's coming, but, you know, it's not like regular. So we're very fortunate. And then so many people come here and they go out trying to distribute books, and that even the temple president, I only know of one other temple where that goes on, where the temple president's going out for, well, maybe a few others in Eastern Europe. In Finland, they're really fired up for Sankirtan. But that's what we're supposed to be. The temple is the headquarters for the Sankirtan movement. And that includes people, you know, that when we go for Sankirtan, we're inviting people to the temple. So the temple, we want it to be very nice. We want kirtan at the temple, beautiful deities, nice prasadam, you know, everything. So that people want to come back, people want to surrender to Krishna. They see that surrender to Krishna is so nice. There's no loss, right? You just gain. You only have to give up suffering. Everything else you can keep. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.